From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And hello, good afternoon. It is Saturday, August 11th, and I am Jason Cochran.
And I'm Pauline Fromer.
And to get together, we are the Fromer Travel Show here on WABC, and we answer your phone calls, we answer your questions, we hear your stories and your comments. The number for all of those things, 1-800-848-9222. I'll give it one more time because we do want you to call as soon as you can so we can get to it. 800-848-9222. Pauline, as all good Fromers do, is on the road today. Pauline,
yes.
Last week you were in New England, but where are you today?
Today I am in Corte Madera, California, which is right outside San Francisco. I'm here for the Book Passage Travel Writers Conference, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But I want to first get to our question of the day. As Jason said, we take your calls by phone, 800-848-9222. But that's not the only way we want to hear from you. You can also send us emails to FromerTravelShow@yahoo.com. And I got the most fascinating one from, I'll try and condense it a little bit, but long story short, he went to Malta. His very first day in Malta, he had a heart attack. Mm. And he says the Malta hospital building is fairly new and modern. It's government run and the doctors work for the government. I feel the care there was just as good as I would have received in the United States, luckily. Luckily, I never had a heart attack in the U.S., so I can't say for sure. However, I'm still alive and doing well. I'm not sure how much the Maltese are taxed, but if I was a citizen, the whole thing would have been free. Being a U.S. citizen, I have to pay for everything. The ambulance, the week in the hospital, including my time in critical cardiac care, critical cardiac care unit and a private room, all types of tests, the surgery, the doctors, and the follow-up exam came to $9,300. My cardiologist in the U.S. had said that bill would have been $300,000 in the U.S. So I guess the question of the day is, and he goes on to say how much he was impressed by his care and how grateful he is to Malta. So my question of the day is, have you ever gotten sick on the road? And how did it go? Was it very different from getting sick in the U.S.? Did you get good treatment, bad treatment? We would love to hear from you with those medical travel questions or comments. 800-848-9222. Jason, have you ever been sick on the road?
Well, I just want to remind everybody, we're not doctors, but we are travel experts. And so we want to talk about this from the travel perspective. We can talk about insurance. We can talk about, you know, how you navigate these things, any great experiences, bad experiences you've had, 800-848-9222. No, I've had minor medical, I needed to go to the doctor because of an upset stomach or that kind of thing. But I've always found ways around it. Either I was in a country where it's extremely cheap. When I had an upset tummy in Egypt, I just walked in. They gave me a couple pills that cost about a dollar. Don't know what they were, but it solved the problem within a day. Whereas when I had a problem in the UK, I was told it would cost me about £200 just to see a doctor because I was not in the EU. So I had to go to a healthcare shop and get some oil extracts and some other natural remedies to take care of it. Because basically it would have been too expensive for me to get a proper medication. But eventually that took care of it that way too. I had to get very creative about it. You know, before 1973 in the US, you weren't allowed to profit off health care. It was illegal. It was made legal by Nixon, which is one reason it's so expensive for us. But, you know, when you travel abroad, you kind of realize the way everyone else lives and how inexpensive it can be. And sometimes you have to wait. But then again, I've had to wait 2 hours for an appointment here, too. But anyway, those are the experiences I've had. But we have some phone calls coming in.
Well, let me just tell mine, please. Yeah. When I was on my honeymoon, of all things, I did a round-the-world trip with my husband, and my father bought the tickets, and being a real cheapskate, our first flight was on Air Pakistan, which is the only airline I've ever been on where the seats were duct taped together, and there were cockroaches on the plane. It was fascinating. Anyway,
frequent flyers.
Yeah, very romantic way to start the honeymoon. Yeah. So I actually got very sick on the plane. I started throwing up and other stuff was happening. And that kept going in Paris, which was our first stop. So we had to the hotel to see me. And he was probably the most handsome doctor I have ever been treated by.
You're not supposed to think this on your honeymoon, by the way. You're supposed to see no one but your husband.
My husband was not thrilled when basically George Clooney walked into the room and he gave me the best stuff. I mean, it really got me better so much faster. It wasn't expensive and it was kind of a fun experience to have this gorgeous man taking care of me. Two gorgeous men, actually, my husband and the doctor. So
sounds like the first act of a romantic comedy starring Sandra Bullock. Do I choose the doctor or do I stay with my husband?
Yes.
France. Paris is lovely. Speaking of France and Paris, we do have a question about it coming in on the phone. We'll get to the medical stories in a second. But first, we're going to talk to Tom from Staten Island. Tom, hi. You're live on The Travel Show. And how can we help you?
I'm looking to travel to Paris, France, during like the week of the 21st to the 27th of December, like to be there for Christmas. And I'm going all over, and I'm just trying to find out I'm looking for decent airlines because I see a lot of these low-cut airlines. And I know you can't prefer, say what hotels, but how do I go about finding the best way to, put this trip together? I'm somewhat in the city.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Well, in terms of the airfares, you're going to get with holiday pricing at that time of year. It's not going to be inexpensive. Usually, I would say to wait until about 6 weeks before travel to book. But because you're going when everybody else is going, I would say book it now. Go with whatever airline gives you the best rate. Remember that they all have the same safety records. Otherwise, they wouldn't be allowed to fly into and out of the United States. So you don't have to worry about that. There will be some difference in terms of the pitch of the seats, which is how close they are together, the quality of the food. But to my mind, cost, especially at that time of year, is going to be your predominant concern because it's going to be expensive. And then in terms of how to set up the rest of it, you really want to stay in a nice area. A lot of people wrongly think that they should stay near the Eiffel Tower. And the truth is you're going to see the Eiffel Tower from many areas of town. The Eiffel Tower is kind of an area, it's kind of this ritzy area where there are a lot of embassies, a lot of high-class law offices. It's a little dead. It's very expensive. So I would say don't stay in that area.
Yeah,
my favorite area to stay in is the Marais or on Montmartre, although Montmartre, it doesn't have as good connections on the subway. But remember, you're going to get everywhere on their version of the subway, which is the metro. So look for a place that's near a good stop and you can get everywhere very quickly. The Parisian metro is amazing and fast and clean.
Marais.
I love the Marais. It's one of the oldest areas of Paris. Basically, after the Revolution of 1848, which is the one you see in the musical Les Miserables, a man named Baron Haussmann was brought in to reshape Paris to stop people from barricading the streets and causing revolutions. And so he bulldozed a lot of old buildings, created these big boulevards that couldn't be barricaded. But one of the areas that he left as it was is the Marais. And so it's this adorable area of little twisty streets, boutiques. It's actually the old Jewish quarter, so there's good deli food there. I just think it's a darling area to stay in.
If you're looking for places like in a guidebook, for example, Paris is divided up into what they call arrondissements. It's sort of, think of it as a zip code, but more basic than that. And Le Marais is right off of the river, just north of the Seine, and it's on both the fourth and the third arrondissement. So if you see that, you know you're in the right zone. And Marais is spelled Marais. And I agree with Pauline. It's a terrific, very old world Europe place to stay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Have a great trip.
Okay, we're going to have a quick call from Jean calling in from Manhattan. Hi, Jean. Thanks for hanging on. We're ready to take your call, though, and you're live on the air.
Oh, good afternoon. I love your show. We have taken a few trips with Grand Circle, but not for several years lately. And I'm just wondering, are they still in business?
Indeed, they are.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I tried to Google them, and it kept coming up Grand Circle Travelocity.
So you're going to look for GCT, standing for GrandCircleTravel.com.
Right. Okay.
That's its website, and I know it's working because while you were speaking, I called it up myself.
Oh, great, because we were very satisfied with the trips we took.
Yeah, they've got a great reputation.
Yeah, great. Okay, thanks very much.
Bye. My only suggestion on Grand Circle, they have a great reputation, they do great tours, but I have heard that some of their policies for cancellation are more draconian than other tour companies. So this is a good company if you're traveling with them to get travel insurance. And actually for any tour, for any cruise, it's a good idea because that's a big ticket item. You're paying often for airfare, all your hotels, meals. It's all one big package, usually several thousand dollars. So you want to protect it. And to do so, get Allianz Travel Insurance. Allianz will cover you if you get sick abroad, which is what we're talking about later in the show. If you have to get medevaced out of a place, if you lose your bag, they cover so much. To learn all about Allianz Travel Insurance, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com. We'll be right back after these messages. If you want to call us, 800-848-9222. I'm Pauline Frommer.
The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Frommer Travel Show. The phone number, in case you didn't hear it the first time, is 800-848-9222. We're talking all kinds of travel questions, but in particular, we're talking medical stories. And if something happened to you when you were on vacation, how you navigated it. Graham in Westchester has something, and I'm reading the note here. It looks like a little bit of a horror story, Graham. What happened to you? Hi, you're live on the air.
Yeah, hi. About 10 years ago, I was indulging in my hobby at the time, which was riding my motorcycle on racetracks.
Uh-huh.
And wow. Only when you fall down.
I said I wow, but ow, wow. It sounds like you might have fallen, so.
Well, yes, I was on a track at Mount Tremblant up in Canada, and I crashed my motorcycle. I broke my leg pretty badly. Broke my lower leg, both bones in the lower leg, and was transported to the hospital in an ambulance, went through the whole emergency room experience, the diagnosis, the x-rays, et cetera, et cetera. They set the fracture, put a cast on, and gave me medications, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the entire bill for everything, ambulance, emergency room, setting, cast, $300.
No. Did you find that the medical experience was very similar to what you would have found in the U.S.?
I've had quite a few similar experiences here in the U.S., and the experience was just the same, just as good, just as good.
All right.
So I got to ask you, you say it's a hobby you used to have. Are you still riding motorcycles?
No, I had my final, what they call in the business, my final get-off a few years ago. And as I was sliding across the track, knowing that something was broken, I said, that's enough. I'm done with this.
Yeah, wow. Well, thank you for I'm so glad you're okay, and thanks for calling. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to see the world. I'm going to go to every country in the world and break a bone there.
The experience down here probably would have been about $10,000.
Yeah, you would have never been able to travel again. Thanks for calling, Graham. We're going to pick up another call from Doug in Union City. There's a similar story coming from Doug. Hi, you're live on the travel show. What's your story?
Hey, good afternoon. A year ago yesterday, I was vacationing in Iceland. My wife was thrown from a horse. It needed a complete hip replacement. And I only wish I knew of your insurance company, because I would have had their insurance to fixed-wing medevac her out of there, because she had to be laid down the whole trip. So It was frightening experience. The hospital in Reykjavik was a nightmare. You know, I don't know if you're aware, in the social medicine system, if you have a broken bone or you're a mental patient, you go to the same hospital.
No.
And there really is no security or any kind of administration happening in that environment.
So she was treated, though?
No, negative. We were advised heavily not to have. They still use the cement socket, which they no longer use in the United States. That's where all those hip replacement you know, lawsuits are about. So we elected to get her out of there, medevac her out of there, get her back to
that's it, though. That's the key. Have that medevac insurance, because, you know,
well,
even a place
it.
Like Iceland, which is considered front of the line when it comes to, you know, Western society, there are going to find little things like that within any society that aren't the way you necessarily would want them. And you'll need to medevac yourself out.
It was a whole plethora of things, too long to go into, but I didn't have insurance. I only wish I did.
Yeah.
I had to pay out of pocket. You can imagine what that is. So
tell your
listeners to take the insurance.
Hey, you just told them. Thank you very much for doing it, too. We appreciate it, Doug. Sorry that happened to you. I hope that she's on the mend. Jim from Rockland County has his own story he'd like to tell. Jim, hi. You're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Oh, nothing. I was in last year I was in Mexico in Cozumel.
Okay.
My son had convinced me to learn how to scuba dive. So I went down to Cozumel, and I was doing the swimming pool portion of the instruction, and I ultimately wound up with a really severe heat stroke.
Uh-huh.
I was completely dehydrated. I had a wetsuit on, which was, for some reason, saving everything. But when I took the wetsuit off, I had no volume in my body, so everything just started to...
So I'm guessing you had to go to the hospital when this happened. And,
correct,
and this was in Cozumel, Mexico. And I think people have maybe an assumption that Mexican hospitals won't be very good. But what did you find?
Well, they took me to the emergency room. They had the best care I've ever had.
Really?
Yep, the doctor was phenomenal. The nurses were amazing. The whole staff. Here's an example. The hospital they took me, they wanted to do a chest x-ray because I had flown in the night before, so they were concerned that I may be having a pulmonary embolism, a clot in my lung. So they were getting a new CAT scan machine installed in the hospital I was in. So they put me in an ambulance and sent me to another hospital where they took me in, did the CAT scan, put me back in the ambulance, brought me back to the other hospital, which all took all of 45 minutes. And by the time I got back to the other hospital, my CAT scan had been read, and the results were in.
So, Jim, how much did this whole thing cost you? We all know CAT scans will cost you your mortgage payment for a year here.
Well, out of pocket, while I was down there, because I had no insurance, I had my own insurance, but I had no travel insurance. So, out of pocket, the whole thing cost me $6,000 for a 38-hour stay.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been much different if it had happened here. But, you know, it's a couple good lessons in that. When you travel, make sure you remain hydrated. You know, we can all look after breaking our bones, you know, and not breaking our bones, and not taking motorcycles, things like that. But, you know, sweating is something that we all do, especially
absolutely,
when we're out exploring, having a good time. And we're putting our bodies in new experiences that we're not really adjusted to. You know, you weren't, I'm assuming, diving all the time. So it's not necessarily something you would have looked out for right away.
No, it was
so
absolutely.
It's a really good lesson.
Now when I travel, I buy DAN insurance, DAN, Divers Alert Network, and it's $75 a year, and it covers everything. If you need to be medevac, they'll fly you out, they'll do everything. There's no issues at all. They'll pay for everything. But when I got back, I submitted everything to my own insurance company. They gave me back everything except for $600.
Oh, well, you know, it could be worse, I suppose.
Right, yeah, no, it all actually worked out really, really well. And it was
the best
care I've ever had.
I appreciate the story. Thanks for calling in. You know, it's good advice in general. There was a story about a year ago that we wrote about on Frommers.com of a backpacker who fell ill on a bus ride. I want to say it was Thailand, but it was somewhere in Southeast Asia. And he didn't get treatment in time. They kept putting it off. They were delaying bringing him to the hospital because they didn't know he had insurance. They assumed he didn't have insurance. I think there's some places where they'll just take you in anyway, as they, you know, as we heard in the Icelandic story. But in this case, he didn't get treatment. It turns out that his proof of insurance was actually in his backpack. And the nurses, the EMTs that picked him up, didn't realize that he'd had the insurance the entire time. And so, unfortunately, he passed away. But I think it's a great lesson for people to have whatever documentation you've prepared before you leave, whether it's insurance, even a copy of your own passport, everything that you're going to need, keep it someplace where if something happens to you, they'll be able to find it. They'll be able to know that you actually possess those documents, so that, you know, you can get the care you need. You can get to the embassy if you need to, if you're not able to speak for yourself. I think it's great advice in general. One of the things I also do, I use the cloud-based systems. You know, you can use Dropbox, or you can email them to yourself after you've scanned them. Just have them somewhere where you can get them. I also think, obviously, you should have a paper version, because if you're incapacitated, you can't tell them how to get onto the Dropbox. But it's a good idea to sort of keep those handy at all times. Just sort of good advice for everybody. We're going to need to take a quick break. The number, though, give us a call. We'll pick it up after the break, is 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-9222. We'll catch you back in a few minutes.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Welcome back to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Jason Cochran. Pauline Fromer is calling in from the Bay Area in California, where she is doing a book travel writing seminar.
Yep.
The number is 800-848-9222. We got a full slate of calls, but there's still time for yours. First, we're going to go on to Dan, who is calling from Brooklyn. He's been waiting patiently. Dan, hi. You're live in the air. How can we help you?
Hi there. Planning on going to Kenya, Africa, in October. A couple of questions. Is it too late? I haven't booked it yet. I'm going with a friend. And what are some of the best tour operators? And does Froma do a book on
Well, I don't think safari? It's necessarily too late. You might pay a little more, maybe a lot more than you would have if you had booked earlier for your airfare, at least. But you might be able to luck into a deal where there's a safari going out and it wasn't fully booked, and now they're getting a little desperate to fill it. I think the best way to find that kind of availability would be to go to a marketplace site. I'm a fan of Stride Travel. .com, which is spelled STRIDE. And why I like that for safaris is it will show you not only the big multinational operators, but it'll also show you a lot of the little mom and pop operations, which means you could save a bundle. And you will see all of the details of the safari laid out with the price differentials. So I think that's a good way to go. There are many good safari operators. They all have different styles. And I think going to a marketplace site like Stride Travel, another option is Tripwing, and there's a third good marketplace site. I'm blanking on the name, right? Tour Radar is its name. But look at Stride or look at Tour Radar and see which safari looks best to you. You may not have as much choice as you would have if you had booked a year ago, but these are the types of sites where safaris that have last-minute availabilities are more likely to be listed.
Sounds good. And I guess the airfare would have to be done separately. I couldn't get a package to do everything. The airfare, the...
I don't know if you'd save any money by doing a package. I mean, you can definitely crunch the numbers. You can ask them if they'll arrange it for you. A lot of us safari operators will, but it may not save you money. So I would also look at what the cost would be booking the two separately.
Yeah, there's not a clear-cut answer on the airfare when it comes to safaris, as there might be to a major European city. So definitely try both ways to see which does you better.
Thank you. Great show, always.
Thanks, Dan. We're going to move on to Gary. Gary has also been waiting patiently from Edison, New Jersey. Hey, Gary, you're live on the air. Let's go.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My ailment problem was not as severe as the other one cited, but I was on a river cruise, and one thing, I've been to Europe now 12 times, and this is the first time this happened. I was on a river cruise. Can I mention the name?
Sure.
I was on Avalon.
Uh-huh.
and the pillows were so soft. I tried to mount, pile them up, and I still end up with severe strain. Oh. They finally gave me another pillow, but by that time, with the unusual heat and everything else, it didn't make it as comfortable a trip as I wanted to. And because you're going to different places, there was no place I could end up going to hospital or anything.
Yeah, yeah. And you need, it was so bad you needed to go to the hospital? This is reminding me of The Princess and the Pea a little bit.
Well, I will tell you this. When I got home, I had some severe spasms. I had to call 911 because I couldn't even get my shirt off.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. But you know what? I guess this is a good lesson. Maybe pillows are important. They help us sleep. Maybe you have to take up some of the room in your luggage by packing one.
I will have to if I take another trip. I mean, this is the first time this happened.
You know, I'm with you. I prefer harder pillows, and I very rarely find in commercial operations pillows hard enough for me. I think they try to be luxurious, and they do these feather-down pillows, but I prefer good old-fashioned foam or newfangled foam, because I guess feather pillows are probably more old-fashioned, but I like foam.
Yeah,
I like,
there's one more thing I want to add. They had this type of comfort bed that had adjustments. I don't know how they do it. But if they had that and they had the flimsy pillows, it doesn't seem to make any sense. And I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to the company. I don't know what kind of response I'll get. Maybe I'll get a box of chocolates.
Well, you might get more of a response now that you've named them on the radio. You might want to shoot them an email and let them know.
Yeah, well, I did write them that I was possibly going to end up doing that.
I got to ask you though, beyond the pillow, although that might have affected everything, how was the rest of the cruise?
Well, the problem I had was some of the things were very good. Going by the castles was great.
Mm-hmm.
The tours, I was in Colmar in France, and it's a very picturesque place, but the guy kept walking, and I was using two cameras, and I had a balance trying to end up keeping up with that with Giselle, the guide,
right,
and trying to do that. Instead of just taking a spot, going, you know, and letting people take the pictures at their leisure and then doing anecdotes, you know, about the place, that would be much better than what she did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the dirty little secret about river cruises is, with the exception of Tauque and Grand Circle, they don't have their own guides in each port. There's a pool of guides, and so they don't really have much control over how good the guide is on these day trips. And I guess you found one who hasn't noticed that everybody's taking selfies. You'd think she'd notice at this point, but
right.
No.
And the thing is, they did have you fill in comments on the tour guides, you know, and everything else.
Right, right. Well,
but still, I learned my lesson with river cruises and touring, you know, in itself. After now, I'm 69.
Yeah.
To have this happen the first time.
Yeah, got to get a pillow.
Thanks,
well, thank
Gary.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Hi, we're going to move to Louise, who's calling from Long Island. Hi, Louise. You are live on the Travel Show, and we'd like to help you. So what can we do?
Okay, two things. First off, my girlfriends and I were like 70. We're doing a cruise Mediterranean out of Venice. We're doing Croatia, Mykonos. It's a seven-day cruise, Dubrovnik. And we're debating whether we should get a tour from the cruise line or book tour separately or not even bother because we have like 6 hours. My one friend is concerned because if we miss the boat, you know, we'll be stuck. So she's a little apprehensive and would rather do a tour that the cruise line books.
Well, let me just figure this out. So you fly in the morning of the cruise, and then you're thinking of taking a six-hour cruise before getting on the boat?
No, those two, you know, they have different tours that they have at each stop. You know, like in Croatia, they'll have a
so
stop
this is,
for 6 hours.
Is this a river or ocean cruise?
Ocean cruise from
okay.
The Norwegian Star.
Right, right, right. I think the ocean cruise line's shore excursions are woefully overpriced. And you can get tours from outside companies that instead of packing 40 people into a bus, usually have 12 people in a van, which is much more efficient. You get to see more because they're herding fewer people, and they tend to be much less expensive. And companies such as our advertiser, which is ShoreTrips.com, they're terrific. And there's also CruisingExcursions.com, which is their rival. These two companies give you a guarantee. If you take their tour and there's a huge traffic jam and you don't get back to the port on time and the boat leaves, they will fly you at their expense to the next port. So you don't take any risk by using them. I think you have a better experience and you pay less money. But some of these ports, you can probably just walk off the ship and explore. So I hope that helps. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take another break. Before we do, we started this talking about things that go wrong on vacation, getting really sick. I think there's fewer more scary things that can happen than being sick in a foreign nation where you don't speak the language, you don't have doctors that you trust in place. Well, Allianz Travel Insurance can help. They have local trusted doctors who they will send you to. They know who the ones are who speak English. If heaven forbid you have to be medevaced out, a process that can cost tens of thousands of dollars, they cover it on many of their insurance policies. To find out more about Allianz Travel Insurance, visit Allianz TravelInsurance.com. That's Allianz TravelInsurance.com.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
Welcome back to The Frommer Travel Show. Our phone number, as I am so fond of saying, is 800-848-9222, which happens to be the very number called by Mary. Mary's calling from Valley Stream. Hi, Mary. You're live on the show.
Hello.
Hi there. You're live. How can we help you?
Oh, well, you've already helped me with the, I picked up three tricks. I'm going on an Avalon River cruise, so I'll bring a pillow. I'm going to call Alliance, and I'm going to have shore tours.
Oh, good. But if you're on an Avalon River cruise, with river cruises, all your shore excursions are included.
Oh, they are. Nothing extra for when you have free time.
Well, sometimes they do upsell you they'll do like a half-day cruise and then see if you want to buy another one. So for that, yeah, you might want to use short trips, absolutely.
Okay, well, you've been a fount of information already.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, we're going the end of October, we're going to be in Prague, and then the ship goes to Budapest. It's 11 days. And I was just wondering about the weather, because I'm not used to traveling in that, you know, at that time of year.
Well, the weather will be somewhat akin to what it's like in New York City at that time of year. So, you know, you're going to need layers. Sometimes at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, the sun will be shining. You won't really need a jacket, but you might at 7 or 8 p.m.
Later on.
You won't find it uncomfortable, though. Whatever you're used to here in October, you can expect there. It's very similar. In fact, I think it's a great time of year in general to go to Europe, because those intense summer crowds have gone. Now, granted, there's no time of year where the Charles Bridge in Prague is going to be empty, but at least it'll be easier in that time of year than it would be had you gone in high summer. So I think it's a great time to go to Europe.
Oh, good, good. And I was a little concerned about that, because you don't like to be freezing, you know?
Right, right. Well, have a wonderful time. Jason, who's next?
Karen from Marlboro, New Jersey. Hi, Karen. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you? I love you both. I love your show.
Thank you, father. Aw.
I just want to tell you that several years ago, my husband and I were on a Perillo tour to Sorrento, and they were going on some kind of a... And we decided not to do it. And when I got up in the morning, I see my husband is filled with blood. His whole face, whatever. He had a terrible, terrible nosebleed that we could not stop.
Oh, good. Nosebleed. I was so worried for a second there.
No.
Sounded like you might have smashed him in the middle of the night.
No. It was just a nosebleed. So I run down to the desk. We were alone because the tour had gone someplace else. And I asked for a cab. And they didn't ask anything. We get into the cab. This cab driver, stayed with us, took us to a hospital, came in to interpret for us because we couldn't speak a word of Italian, stayed with us, took us to a doctor, wanted to bring us to his mother because he said she could really stop it.
Wow.
By that time, it had stopped on its own. The doctor said, go home, go to your doctor, blah, 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 whatever. then he took us to get money. He stayed with us. He was the nicest man you could ever imagine, and that was the highlight of our trip.
I was going to say, a nosebleed turned out to be the highlight of your trip. A medical emergency told you more about that destination than any tour could have.
But I have to tell you that when we got back to the hotel, eventually, the hotel didn't ask us what happened. Perillo didn't ask us. Nobody did. I'm telling you, that room must have been, they must have thought it was a murder. In that room. That's how much blood there was.
Oh, my goodness. What a story.
That's a good story.
We told him if he ever came to New York, he should look us up. We were living in New York at the time. And that was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, how great. Thank you for sharing that.
I love to hear bad stories turned into good ones.
Thank you for doing this program, both
sure.
of you. We love
thank
you.
You for calling us. And if you want to call us, the number is 800-848-9222. Ellie from Livingston. Hi, you're live on the air. I think you have a story for us, too.
Hi. Enjoying your program.
Thanks.
We were on a wonderful talk tour to Australia and New Zealand. We had finished with a great day in Queenstown, and I was very sick. And the tour guide took me to an infirmary in Queenstown. Within 45 minutes, I saw an internist, a radiologist, and a pharmacist. They diagnosed me. They gave me a reading on the x-ray. They were wonderful. They were all very well trained. And the whole thing cost me $28 and was done in 45 minutes.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So we
That's
talked to them about the system. Mm-hmm. And I could have even put this into my insurance carrier, but I would be embarrassed to ask for $28. So, but it was a wonderful trip. And this made it possible to enjoy the end of it. But the system is terrific. And everything is in under one small kind of place, and they're all there, and they all take care of you. They're all very well trained, and they're totally casual in their attire and their attitude.
Well, and you know what this teaches us? That there are certain things that other countries may do better than we do, and we should learn from it. And we as travelers know that, which is one of the reasons it's so important to travel. So thank you for calling in. That was a fascinating story. We have to take a break. It's going to be a short one, so don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the last act of the Frommer Travel Show. Still enough time to answer a few questions, so we're going to jump on to Susan, who's calling from Long Island. Susan, you're live on the air. How can we help?
I have a story. It's actually a dental calamity story that took place for me in the mid-70s when I was a young 24-year-old, and I had met the most adorable Dutchman, and we were having a great time going out for days. He took me sightseeing. This was in Amsterdam, and by the fourth day, I developed a hideous, painful toothache, you know, the kind where the nerve pain goes up your jaw.
Ooh.
I couldn't stop tearing up. I couldn't do anything. He took me home that evening to his parents, and his father had a great remedy. He said he had me sit there with a herring on my gum.
Only in Amsterdam.
Oh,
a herring
right.
cures everything.
Two-hour herring, because evidently it's based on the salt being absorbed and the inflammation going down, but I didn't know that at the time. Well, the next day, since it didn't work, my Dutch hero, Herman, called there. They have at least they did then, an emergency service where he called in the morning, got me a 2 o'clock appointment with a dentist about 10, 15 minutes away. We went there at 2 o'clock. The office was full. I was very upset, thinking I would have to sit there and wait my turn. But right at the dot of 2, the nurse came out and called my name. And no one complained that I was going ahead of them or anything. They knew I was from the emergency service. And the dentist was wonderful, good-looking, gave me a root canal.
I'm assuming the dentist didn't use any herring in it, no? No, it was just a regular root canal. Well, what a fascinating story.
I've never heard of putting herring on gums. I think that's one of the coolest ideas. I'll try that with some sardines and having it in there, or some anchovies, I don't know. I love it. Thank you, Susan. Thanks for giving us a call with that story. It was lovely. Lorraine from New Jersey has a question for us. She's going to London. Hi, Lorraine. You're live on the air. How can we help you out?
Hi. Excuse me. My children will be taking me out for my 80th birthday, and I've never been
Happy
to
birthday.
Europe. Oh, they're going to take us to London, me to London. But I wanted to know, I hear there's a train from London to Paris that
yes, there is.
We could take, and it's 2 hours and 10 minutes.
That's right. That's right. It's super
right?
easy. It's called the Eurostar.
The Eurostar?
That's right. And it goes from the center of London to the center of Paris. St. Pancras station in London to Gare du Nord, which is the North station in Paris. Yeah, you could takes about 2:15 to get there. Of course, you have to check in on either side, you know, to go through security and all that stuff. So about an hour ahead of time. So 3 hours from London to Paris is not so bad, and it's super easy. You can buy tickets on Eurostar's website. And they often have deals if you buy in advance ahead of time. I've seen it as low as, you know, 40 or 50 American dollars each way. And you can take it back the same day if you just wanted to make a day of it. By the way, it also goes to Amsterdam now. That's a new thing that started in the last year. They've been talking about it forever. They finally put it in place. And to Brussels, those are all the high-speed ones. It'll go slower speeds to some other towns like Disneyland and some other places in France and Belgium. But you got London to Paris is now, I think more people should combine them, but I think a lot of people don't realize it's so easy to link them with the channel tunnel. It goes right underneath. Because I think in the old days, because you take a ferry, some people still think you have to do that, but not anymore. It's so quick.
And where do I purchase the tickets? Do I do them in America?
Get them
America
ahead of time at on the Eurostar website.
Eurostar.com.
Yeah.
Eurostar.com. And the other question was, we did want to see a theater in London. And again, with the tickets, do we purchase them in America or in London?
You don't have to, unless it's something that you just have your heart set on that's likely to sell out. If you're just happy to see something, there's a TKTS booth in London on Leicester Square, which is in the middle of the theater district. It works just like the TKTS booth does here in New York City. You just show up and see what's cheap that day, and you can get half-price tickets on the day of.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. We're going to turn to one more little story from Dave calling from Morristown. Dave, hopefully this is going to be a happy ending story.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I listen to you every week. I was traveling from Zurich to New York, and about 3 hours after we left Zurich, I started getting severe chest pain.
Oh, no.
And I told the stewardess, and she went to the pilot, and the pilot said it was too late to turn back, and there was no doctor on board. But she took a good guess and asked if anybody on board had some nitroglycerin tablets.
Huh.
And someone luckily did. And within a few minutes of taking one, I felt much better. But when we got to New York, they wouldn't let me walk off the plane. I felt that good. They insisted they wheel me off in a wheelchair.
Isn't that amazing? Sense. I know that when there isn't a doctor on the planes have a special hotline to doctors so that they can get real-time advice on what to do for their patients. So I'm assuming that the stewardess probably called the doctor and the doctor said, poll the passengers and see if they have any nitroglycerin. But I'm so glad it worked out. I'm glad you're okay. And that's
Dave,
a fascinating
what
story.
What was the name of that airline so we can give them a shout-out for doing the right
that
thing
was,
for you?
Swiss Air.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. See, it was a happy ending story, Pauline.
Well,
all these medical stories.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
He made it. We're so thrilled you did. Well,
yeah, I'm really glad to hear it.
Yeah, we thank you for calling. We're running out of time to take more calls. As I said briefly at the beginning of the hour, I'm at the Book Passage Travel Writers Conference now, and I know, Jason, you're going to be teaching at TravelCon coming up in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had a desire to do what we do or to learn how to travel like travel writers do, look into these conferences. They can really be eye-opening, and they're a heck of a lot of fun. It's great to be with other passionate travelers who are also really talented. We have to say goodbye. We thank you so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.